You know, every year when it comes to Mother's Day, I think back in time to one specific Mother's Day in my life, not being a mom, but I call it the great debacle. It was those years between childhood and manhood where my brother and I were really trying to get a handle on this Mother's Day thing. You know, our dad pretty much gave it over to us. He said, "You guys are ready. She's your mom. Figure it out." So my brother and I on that year sat down at the dinner table one night with a plan. We sat down and we said, "Mom, Mother's Day is coming up. We'd like to know what you'd like for a gift this year at Mother's Day." And my mom said the first sentence, she said, "Boys, I want you to know, you don't need to get me a gift this year to prove your love for me." She went on to say other things, but it sounded sort of like, "Wah, wah, 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 wah." So my brother and I went away from that meeting. We said, "Hey, we got it made this year. High fives all around. Mom doesn't need a gift this year. Woo! Yeah!" Mother's Day came. At that point in our family where it would have been appropriate for the Mother's Day gift to happen, I started to realize that this might become a bit awkward all of a sudden. However, you need to know, my brother had the answer for that. He pulls out a gift for my mom. And it was the perfect gift. Just the kind of gift mothers like. I have no idea what it was. I don't remember. I was dealing with anger issues at that moment. My brother always was the one loved most by my mom, and he always knew how to get her that right gift. Oh. So all silence broke over our household, and every eye came to me, and my brother sat there so proud, and there was still tears in my mom's eyes. And I sat there feeling like the biggest idiot in the world, because I didn't have a gift for my mom. I figured every Mother's Day from here on out would happen at the state prison because I was going to kill my brother. He threw me under the bus. The next few days, things were a little chilly between me and my mom, if you could imagine that. And I said, "Mom, I'm a little upset with you." "Oh, really, son? Well, you're upset with me. It's apparent that I should have gotten you a gift on Mother's Day, and I did not." "Yes, I'll be honest, that did hurt that you didn't recognize Mother's Day." I said, "See, that's why I'm upset. You're nuts, you're crazy. You sat a week before Mother's Day and said, we didn't need to get you a gift, that you knew that we loved you." I said, "If anything, you ought to be ticked at that younger brother of mine, because at least I obeyed you. I listened to you, Mom. I was in touch with you, and you said you didn't need to buy a gift, and he disobeyed. And now who's in trouble, Mom? You're a little crazy here." And my mom said something I'll never forget. She said, I want to teach you a lesson today about women." Like, what's my mom know about women? She said, "If you have to ask a woman what gift they want before you give it to them," she said, "that cancels it out." Come on! That's crazy talk. When it's my birthday, I say what I want. You get it for me, and we're all happy. Christmas rolls around, and we tell each other what we want. We get the gifts, and we're all happy. No, all of a sudden the rules changed on me, and I didn't know it. She said, "If we have to ask for the gift we want, then it just kind of messes it up for a woman." This morning, I would like to honor and celebrate women by pointing out two wonderful qualities that they have. I need to give you a disclaimer before I begin, because I'm going to talk in some generalities. You know how that works, right? I'm going to make some general statements about women. I'm going to make some general statements about men. And for some of you, they won't line up, and you'll want to get upset. What's Pastor Todd saying? That all women act like this and all men? No, please be gracious with me. I'm going to speak in generalities. What you need to do is then adjust that for your own situation and in your own household. Okay? So you're willing to give me a little grace, right? Oh, man. Is this what I have to work with? You're going to give me a little bit of grace, right? All right, here we go. Women reflect the character of God in at least two outstanding ways. Number one, women can see. Women can see. Now I'm not just talking about normal, you know, regular eyesight. Women have a way of being aware and in tune with their surroundings. Generally speaking, in ways that men don't. When my kids were little, my wife and I used to take them to the park near our house. And on the weekends, the park would be crowded with all these kids. I mean, hundreds of them there around our home. And if you take the time to listen while a bunch of kids are in the park playing on the playgrounds, you hear a couple of things over and over, like constantly. One thing you hear over and over is, "Mom! Mommy! Look at me! Mommy, help me!" Every 100 mommies, then there's one that says, "Daddy!" I'd be sitting there, and every time I heard the word "daddy," I'd be like, "Oh, where's our kid?" And Jean would put her hand on my thigh like, "You poor lost soul. That was not our child." Then she'd be having a conversation on the bench with another woman. The kids are playing, kids screaming, noises everywhere. And all of a sudden, her ears would shoot up. Her head would spin and she'd run through the playground. On the other side of the jungle gym, around the corner beside the tree, there was our son or daughter hurt on the ground. And they went, "Mom." They're aware, they're in tune, especially relationally and with people around them, more than men generally are. The whole thing where women hear kids' voices better than the dads, I mean, that one I can kind of understand somewhat. But here's what I didn't get. One night we're sitting at the dinner table. The kids went off to play. We were chatting, and all of a sudden my wife says, "It's too quiet in here. Something's wrong." And she starts yelling, "Kyle, put the markers down!" And I'm thinking, whoa, she really is crazy. What's going on? I can't even see our kids. And all of a sudden, she runs through the house, around the corner, in the bedroom, and just in time, permanent marker, ready to go onto the wall. And she says, "You put that down!" I said, whoa. I'm trying to be a good dad, and I'm way out of my league because she's really on top of this stuff. So I tried it later. If she can interpret the silence, so can I. So a few nights later, I give it a shot. We're sitting there, it's quiet in the house. I said, "Hey, baby, it's a little quiet in here. I think something's wrong with our kids." She looked at me like I was from another planet, and she said, "It's not that kind of quiet." I'm like, "What?" You women have like 8 different levels of what quiet means. "No, they're fine. We can't see them." "Well, I know they're fine. It's the right kind of quiet." I'm like, women can see. They can process things. You don't have to be a mom to do this. Guys, you know, right? Today, you might go home and you'll say, "Wasn't that suit Pastor Todd was wearing nice?" You're like, "I don't know. Was there even a preacher up front?" Or so-and-so got a haircut or something. You know, guys, let's face it. They could redo all the walls in the house with new wallpaper. And if they test us to see when we notice, I mean, we're sitting there retired one day going, "You changed the wallpaper?" I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you why women are like this. And we're going to celebrate it. Women get hurt and picked on for some of these skills like being able to see. And that is not right. And we're going to take a look in Genesis and see where is the root of this special ability that women have to see. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 31 says this. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Sometimes I think we get the idea in church or when we're reading our Bible that God created man, and we think about God creating Adam and how well that was. And I even remember sitting through some sermons where at the end I felt like the whole thing was taught like Eve was this thing thrown into the side. Like all of a sudden God was surprised. Oh, man's in the garden alone and all the other creatures, you know, are paired up. Oh, I better create woman. No, look at these verses. God created them male and female. If we can speak in generalities and say in general that women are more in tune and more aware with what's happening around them, we can trace that right back to being created in God's image. Because God is the creator, he's the master of all the details that are around us. I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 10. Go to Matthew chapter 10 now. And I want to show you just how tuned in that God is. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, these verses have been very important to me through most of my adult life. They're some of my go-to verses when I'm worried, scared, discouraged, or anything like that. Matthew 10:29 says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? And even the very hairs of your head are numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Now, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not, our God is a very personal God who's very tuned in to us and to his creation. The women in our lives reflect that from the heart of God. They tend to be more tuned in to the needs of others, to what's going on around them. I'd like to give some tips this morning for men and for women under this point of saying that women can see. Now, men, you need to listen up. Because God has wired most women this way, that they can see, we need to see it for what it is. It's something very special and helpful. A woman learns to juggle multiple observations all at the same time, which is mostly helpful to everyone around her, except for her. Except for her. It's been a revelation to me how burdensome this is for women. For women to carry all that they carry with them on a daily basis is burdensome. It's difficult for them to relax. It's difficult at times for them to celebrate a job well done, because in their mind there's so much there that it's like from one to the next, and there's always something else to be done. Guys, you need to understand this. We're not wired so much that way. So men, here's your first tip. Shut your mouth before you say something dumb. Now, it kind of sounds funny when you hear it. I'm not trying to be funny. A lot of times, men, and I'm joining the pack with you. I'm not up front saying I have this all figured out. But we often give advice from our own paradigm. What do we usually say when a woman says she's got a lot on her mind, or she's stressed about something, or it's hard to sleep because of all the things going on in her mind? Boy, we give some excellent advice, man, I'll tell you. Usually our first advice goes something like this. Well, just quit thinking about it. See, the women are laughing. The men don't even get this one. Men, we have the capacity to compartmentalize life, usually much better than women. I mean, we're great at going like there's something crazy going on around us, something's falling apart, and we go, I'll take that one at 3 o'clock, and we go on with something else. And we know how to do that. Even big, emotional, important stuff, we can like just put it aside and deal with other things. Generally speaking, women can't do that. All of that runs continually in their mind of all the things that they see that are around them. If you're in doubt, guys, be quiet. If you don't know what to say, then don't say anything. Certainly don't say something like, well, man, you know, you need to focus a little bit. I mean, you're pretty scatterbrained. No, it's not scatterbrained at all. You guys get to reap the benefits of a woman being able to handle all that. Secondly, guys, strive to understand and cherish her. Strive to understand and cherish her. If you're thinking that your wife has trouble focusing and that she's scatterbrained or you're thinking thoughts like that in your mind, you're really saying to her and to yourself that she's broken. Well, if you could just calm down and think about the world the way I do, everything would be hunky-dory here. No, actually not. Your wife's not broken. She's reflecting the character of God and being able to see all that. As I prepared for men's retreat last weekend, how many of you guys were on men's retreat? Raise your hand real quick. Okay, I was worried in the beginning that maybe some of this would be overlap, and I was worried about it, but now that I see who you are in the room, I realize you probably need this again, so we're good. There's an important word that women use, and even if they don't use the word, they feel it. They desire to be cherished, whether it's a daughter, a mom, a wife, a grandmother, they desire to be cherished. Here's the problem. Us guys are going, what's cherished mean? Right? Guys, don't throw me under the bus like my brother did. Right? You agree with me, right? What's cherished mean? Women get it. Man, they're sitting here already going, oh, that Pastor Todd. He's right on the money. We just want to be cherished. A lot of you guys have a favorite hobby, automobile, something like that. You have a favorite truck, motorcycle. You have things that are important to you, maybe sports related. Some of you are golfers. You have those special golf clubs in your bag that you keep those girly little warmers on, all covering up, keeping them out. I have a friend who has gun collections. I'm only allowed to touch his guns if I have those white gloves on, you know? Guys, we're really good at cherishing stuff. That's the word cherish. We cherish those things that are important to us. I mean, I'm sure there's not a guy in here who, you know, cussed out his kids because they dropped some piece of sports equipment on the gas tank of his new Harley Davidson, right? Now, I'm not revealing anything about me. I don't own a Harley, but, you know. Guys, the point is, we do know how to take care of certain things. All we need to do is transfer that more into the lives of the women around us. That's what cherish is. Protect, guard, make it special. Now, here's some tips for women in this idea. Women, you don't need me or anyone else telling you when you've dropped the ball or failed in some way. Because you're very aware of that. As you see all that happens around you, you can list all the ways you didn't measure up or come through or meet some kinds of needs. The first tip for you is this. You need to realize that you are not broken or weird because you can't shut down your brain. Seriously, some of you in the room feel like maybe you're the only ones dealing with that. Well, here's an eye-opener, you're not. You're sitting in a room full of other women who lose sleep at night because they can't shut off the concerns of life going on in their mind because they can see all this stuff. So the thing for you is to realize you're not broken, you're not weird, in essence, you're not crazy. You have an incredible gift to be aware of your surroundings like this. Tip number two. Be gracious with your men. Be gracious with the men in your life. Some of us men at times really are complete jerks. We're insensitive. We get this stuff wrong. But here's another truth. Many of us are trying really hard. And we want to be with you. And a lot of times to you it feels like we're not listening. We're not tuned in. The truth of the matter is, you can process and move through this type of stuff so quickly that you lose us. Now here's the part where we make jokes about. I mean, an average conversation sometimes with some of you goes from, you need to pick Johnny up after soccer, and don't forget to put gas in the car, and tonight you're bringing pizza home for supper, and oh, we're going on vacation in August, and you're so far out in front of us, we sit there going, oh. Now when you're tempted to go, you don't care, look at your face. We care, we're just like going, oh. We don't know what to do with it. Now, when we are jerks, we deserve, you know, that. But when we're trying, you need to understand that we're trying. Tip number three, speak words of truth and affirmation to yourselves from God's Word. I hear from a lot of women that it's like a tape player running in their head of kind of beating themselves up, and you know, it goes like this. You know, you're not very pretty. You're not very smart. Boy, you're a bad mom. You're not meeting the needs of your husband. Dinner was on the table late. All the kids are late. I mean, there's so much going on there that works against you that really, I'm going to give you an assignment this week. You need to find those verses in Scripture that speak the truth about God's character, His love for you, your value. That Matthew 10 verse was big for me, you know, for a lot of years. I would go there. You need to make sure that you're putting Scripture in front of you that speaks the truth to you. Because for whatever reason, sometimes you're beating yourselves up, and then sometimes us men are heaping it on you even worse. Whether we're men or women, this point applies. The people in our lives cannot be all that we need. They cannot meet all of our needs. That's God's role in our lives, to go to Him, stay in the Word, read the truth from Scripture. First point was women can see. It's an outstanding character trait from the Lord. Secondly, women can feel. Women can feel. The seeing and the feeling always go together for a lot of women. They see a need. They see something going on around them. They automatically feel it. Men, not so much sometimes. I still remember being in the shop, working with my dad, cut through my hand with a big, brand new utility knife. I mean, it was nasty cut, right through the meat of my hand. I'm like, Dad, oh my goodness, I mean, there's blood coming everywhere. Oh, what are we going to do? He throws me a roll of duct tape and he goes back to work. He didn't even unroll it for me, for Pete's sake. Two guys at work, you know, working away on something. And one guy, hey, how's it going, Frank? Oh, not too bad, except that this week things aren't going real well in my marriage. I'm afraid I'm going to get divorced. Oh, yeah? Hey, hand me the crescent wrench, can you? For us guys, a lot of times the information stops here. It doesn't travel here. For a lot of women, I mean, it's like light speed from here to here. It's like all the same. I want you to take a look on the screens with me at a few verses that point out where does this feeling thing come from. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Our God is a comforting God, a feeling God. Not only does He see us and our needs, He feels it. Let's take a look at the next verse. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus wept. Jesus Christ felt for the people He knew. In this particular setting, He was feeling for some sisters named Mary and Martha who had just lost their brother Lazarus in death. There was a lot of grief in this situation. We see that Jesus enters into it. It's not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. Jesus Himself could feel. Let's look at one more verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The essence, the heart of our God is emotional. It's a love. It's a feel of connection with us. Jesus Christ went to the cross because of the love Father God had for us. When women are in touch with that, they're reflecting God's character. They're not crazy. They're not broken. Here's a couple tips now for men on this one. Most of us men really end up hurting the women in our lives by failing to understand what's going on here. We make jokes and wisecracks about women being too emotional or hormonal or some other insensitive thought like that. So guys, here's a tip for you. Shut your mouth before you say something dumb. No, that's not a typo. The guy, you know, in the tech booth didn't mess up. Why is this so important, men, when we're dealing with our daughters and wives and moms? Here's why. Every harsh word and unloving act is running in their minds, sometimes for weeks, months, or years at a time. Some of us men can say harsh things, hear harsh things, and within a matter of minutes or hours, it doesn't even affect us. But because women can see and women can feel, those comments, those hurtful actions are carried with them all the time. It's always there in the background, playing in their mind. If we say something upsetting in the morning, that's with most of women all day long. We come home acting like, you know, some hero from working all hard all day, and we're upset now that she's down. Well, why? It's because of what was said clear early in the morning, or sometimes months or years ago. Men, we're that way too, but I think you understand what I'm saying. It's very real for them. You need to be careful what you say. Number two, apologize. There are two types of apologies. There's the "it's your fault" apology, where you did do something wrong, hurtful, and you need to apologize for that action. See, men, when you apologize to the women in your life, it can erase or take away that piece in particular that's running in her mind. If she can reconnect with you, if the apology's genuine, that then can be released in her mind. The second type of apology, men don't usually know anything about this one, so I'm kind of going to let you in on some secrets. It's not your fault apology. Men, there's such thing as an apology where we apologize when it's not our fault. I know this is going to rock your world a little bit here, but you ever watch women relating to one another oftentimes one woman's having a bad day and the other woman will say, I am so sorry you had a bad day. And they connect and they're friends and it makes her feel good. Guys, it's perfectly acceptable. In fact, I would recommend it. If you see your daughter, your mom, your wife, someone in your midst who's upset with something, it's okay to say, I am sorry that you're having a bad day. It's acknowledging the feelings that she's dealing with. It's not about, well, it's not my fault she had a bad day. I'm not apologizing. Don't miss the point here. This one's very powerful. It goes both ways for men and women. When we can see and understand what each other's feeling, we enter into that. It's a good thing. Men, don't forget the little things. This is the third tip. Don't forget the little things. I wish I had a whole sermon for this one. But guys, we don't have to do big heroic stuff. What we have to concentrate on is the small things, at least what we call small things. It's not small to them. Kind words, cards, gentle actions, opening doors, cleaning up after yourself, affirming her in public, doing things she likes to do, even though you don't like to do it. It's that type of stuff that wins the day. Most women are not expecting or wanting like huge rocket science type stuff from us. It's just being thoughtful in the everyday. Women, here are some tips for you in this area. Number one, it's related to a tip from the first one, lean into God. Lean into God. God is your Heavenly Father. Picture just leaning into Him and having Him love you back. Make sure that you understand Him in that way. That goes back to getting those right scriptures into our minds that convey the truth of who God is. So we need to lean into God more than anyone else. Number two, realize that feelings can be wrong. Realize that feelings can be wrong. If I rewind things back to that point where I was with my mom after that Mother's Day, my mom felt like I didn't love her. She felt unloved. The truth of the matter is, I love my mom dearly. I didn't communicate that well. I obviously messed that up, but in her mind, she's saying, my son doesn't love me. That just wasn't true. Our feelings can really trip us up. That's why it's so important to stay in tune with what's in God's Word. I mean, it's easy for any of us to make assumptions about how people are feeling and thinking about us sometimes when they're not true. So feelings sometimes can be wrong. And number three, admit that you can't comfort everyone in every situation. There's so many people that depend on you as moms and grandmas and wives. There's so many needs. There's so much going on around you. You see it, like I already said. You're feeling it, and there's no way you can possibly get it right in every situation. It's just impossible. So you need to admit that you're not going to be able to comfort everyone in every situation. Which then drives us back to counting on God to do that ministry in the lives of others. Because none of us can meet all the needs of each other without the Lord in the mix. So we need to realize today that everyone, men and women, can better appreciate women if they understand two unique God-given qualities. And that is that women can see and that women can feel. The women in our lives are a living reflection of God's character, of His heart. He is a personal God who sees and feels for us and the details in our lives. Men, would you join me in standing and giving an applause to the women in this room? Women, will you stand too with me for a closing word of prayer? Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning as we close this service. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. Lord, not one of us in the room doesn't have something sparked that's probably hurtful or negative in our lives because of this particular day of Mother's Day. Father, we see the commercials and we think about what's all perfect and what Mother's Day should be, and we realize, Lord, that it's really you that we need to continue to depend on in our lives. Father, I ask that you would help both the men and women in this room to continue to honor the way that you've knit them together with the ability to see and sense so much and be aware of things around them and then to feel for people and to carry that on in their life and desire to serve others. It really is a reflection of you. Help us all, Lord, to see that and understand that in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who are